Hi, welcome to episode 443 of the Fantastic Forecast, the world's greatest podcast, according to my mother. I'm Dave Elliott, and I can see the future. In the year 2016, Marvel will bring back Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, the Human Torch, and the Thing in a new comic book called The Fantastic Avengers. You know I'm right. You know what's going to happen. Today, the 443rd issue of the Fantastic Four. It's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 14, from February 1999. The Moon is a Lonely Place to Die Hard, by Chris Claremont and Salvador LaRocca. So Ronan the Accuser has teleported himself to the moon, along with the Fantastic Four, the dead body of Police Sergeant Charlotte Jones, and their old headquarters, Four Freedoms Plaza. He's kind of planning to murder the entire human race, starting with the Fantastic Four. So they've traveled to the blue area of the moon, home of the Watcher, and maybe the Inhumans. I'm not sure if they're still there or not. Ronan tells them that if they have deities, he will give them time to turn to them for comfort and mercy. Well, the FF do have one deity. His name is Thor, but he's not there right now. But if he was, he would not give Ronan any comfort or mercy, that's for sure. Sue is pretending to be unconscious, but she gets up quick and attacks Ronan with a series of force fields, trying to get Johnny free, thinking to herself, "Before he crushes my brother's skull like an eggshell!" I think Chris Claremont is in love with that phrase. But honestly, I want to see someone's head get crushed like an eggshell. Stop teasing me and make with the head crushing already. I'm losing my patience. Well, Ronan is trying. He starts squeezing Johnny's head, but Sue puts up a force field, but she's having a hard time keeping it up around his noggin. Ronan smacks Sue in the face and tosses Johnny into the air. Ben sees this and he goes running over, telling Ronan, "How's about you pick on someone your own size, you tin-plated mook?" Hey, how about laying off the offensive racial slurs, Ben? There are mooks out there who are not going to be happy with this podcast. I don't know what a mook is exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's very offensive, right? Reed stretches out and catches Johnny before he floats off into space. Ronan starts charging up his cosmic hammer, even though Johnny destroyed the hammer last issue. Even Ben notices this inconsistency. Now, I wonder if this was done on purpose, and that Ronan can regenerate his hammer, or Salvador LaRocca just forgot. My money's on Salvador LaRocca forgetting. So then Ronan hits Ben with energy from his hammer, sending Ben down, 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 down through many floors of Four Freedoms Plaza. Ronan looks around for Mr. Fantastic, but doesn't see him around, and he laughs, thinking that he's run away. But then he sees Sue crawling on the floor nearby. He opens up this pouch on his belt, and he pulls out this pink, squid-like creature called a mannequin, which is a terrible name for a grotesque creature. You know, I hear the name mannequin, and all I can think about is the super awesome movie Mannequin, and its amazing sequel, Mannequin 2, On the Move. And its even more superior third movie, rounding out the trilogy, Mannequin 3, Fiberglass Wedding. So Ronan throws this creature at Sue, and has the ability to disrupt energy barriers, mainly Sue's force field, and gets stuck to her face, and it turns her into Ronan's mind-controlled slave. Next up, an interlude at a dingy bar filled with aliens. I think I see Greedo. It's that Star Wars Marvel Universe crossover we've been expecting ever since Disney acquired Lucasfilm. Only it took place in 1999. So this woman walks into the bar, filled with the roughest scoundrels in all the galaxy, and she says, "I'm Bounty. I'm here on business. Anyone got a problem with that?" And a bunch of aliens pull out their guns and they start shooting at her. I'm not sure if Greedo shoots first or not. But then the smoke clears and she's still standing there and everyone else in the bar is dead. So this lady, I bet her name starts with an A and has a Y in it. She says to the dead people, "I gave fair warning. You should have listened. She walks around and finds one person alive. This other woman. Of course Claremont is adding more females to the book faster than Bill Clinton adds female interns. And the second woman wants to hire the first woman to hunt down a terrorist, convicted of high treason and various other atrocities. Also, she's Franklin's new babysitter, Alessandre Stewart. The bounty hunter tells her boss that Alessandre is as good as got. Back on the moon, Ronan is chatting with a few other Kree soldiers, his deputies, sending them out into the blue area of the moon to look for the Fantastic Four. Down in the building, Four Freedoms Plaza, Reed is stretching around, holding Johnny and Sergeant Charlotte Jones, and he's trying to come up with a strategy for dealing with Ronan. Next, we learn why Reed has been carrying around Sergeant Jones' dead body. She's not dead after all. Reed starts to take her clothes off, you know, to work on her, and he's surprised that she's wearing an X-Men uniform underneath. You know, I vaguely remember her appearing in some X-Men comics in the past. I don't know why she would be wearing a uniform. The strong, flexible body armor of the uniform saved her life, however, and when she wakes up, she tells Reed that she acquired the uniform when she was working with the X-Men, fighting a strike force of Genosian magistrates. Reed starts looking around, trying to find something he can use against Ronan, but Jones tells him that after the FF moved out, the feds cleared out all the building. Back with the deputies of Ronan, they're tracking a heat source that they think will lead them to the Human Torch, but instead, it leads them to some kind of mechanism that shoots flames, and they realize they just walked into a trap. A trap set by the Thing. Ben rips out a girder, and the ceiling collapses on the Kree warriors. I'm so jealous. I wish my ceiling would collapse, and I wouldn't have to finish reading this comic. Back with Reed and Charlotte Jones, the room is shaking, and she says that it's an earthquake. And Reed replies, a moonquake would be more precise. Ugh, what a smartass. She didn't even know she was on the moon. Johnny's still asleep, and Reed is worried about his condition. Reed wants to take him back to the newly constructed lunar facility on the edge of the blue area of the moon. Back outside the building, Ronan is standing there with Zombie Sue and watching as his deputies start blowing the building all to pieces. I suspect that Chris Claremont is having fun having the monstrosity of Four Freedoms Plaza getting obliterated slowly over the course of this issue. That really was a hideous building. And you know, I know they don't have the warehouse for very long, but I kind of like that headquarters. I never understood the appeal of a skyscraper superhero headquarters. Especially one with a giant four on the roof. It's like a beacon for every supervillain looking to attack the Fantastic Four. Other superhero headquarters I never liked include the Avengers Tower and that X-Factor spaceship slash skyscraper headquarters. I'm not a big Batman fan, but I think he's always had the best headquarters. The Batcave. You know what makes the Batcave so effective? Because nobody knows where it is. If I had my own superhero team, the first order of business would be to have a secret headquarters, so I can friggin' relax. Ben is outside the building too, and he looks up and he sees the explosions on the upper floors, and he says, "Those mooks play rough." His words, not mine. Those are Ben's racial slurs, not mine. If they are racial slurs, I don't know. Ben has gone hundreds of issues without ever using the word mook. Now all of a sudden, it's like his second favorite expression after "It's clobbering time," which is what he utters as he leaps back up to fight the Kree warriors. Back inside, one of the warriors comes across Roberta, the robot receptionist, Roberta 3.2, who welcomes them to the home of the Thunderbolts, obviously reprogrammed by the Thunderbolts to serve their nefarious and/or reception area needs. The Kree blows her up, but then another Roberta pops up and welcomes them to Four Freedoms Plaza, home of the Fantastic Four. So the Kree zaps Roberta 2.1 as well. And then another Roberta pops up and welcomes the Kree to the Baxter Building. And she gets blasted too. He's getting tired of these damn Robertas. Roberta, how I've adored you. I'd ask you over, but I can't afford. Just in, he hears a tapping noise and he turns to look. And Ben shows up behind him and punches the dude in the face. And then Reed comes out, and Ben thanks him for distracting the Kree. They hear gunfire in the distance. The gun belongs to Charlotte Jones, who's guarding Johnny, as a Kree warrior comes along. Bullets, of course, do no good against him. And just in time, Johnny wakes up. Of course, I don't think flames are going to do him much good either, but he does melt the guy's hammer, and he grabs Johnny, and he flies up through the wall and into the air. Reed stretches out his arm, and he grabs him, but he can't hold on, so he has to make a slingshot with his arms, and he shoots Ben up into the air after them. Ben reaches the Kree warrior, mingles his jet boots. He drops Johnny, who flames on, and he carries Ben back to the ground along with the Kree warrior. Next, Johnny starts torturing the guy by heating up his armor, which seems very unnecessary. Unnecessary torture. What is he, hoping to be George W. Bush's running mate? Reed tells Johnny and Ben that Sue is Ronan's prisoner, and they have to stop him before he completes his task, which is destroying the home of the Watcher. I guess Ronan, you know, likes his privacy. Either that or he hates the comic What If? And I can get behind that. That is a shitty comic. They haven't had a good What If story since the 1970s. So yeah, that's the end of this issue. Coming next time, will Ronan destroy the Watcher's home? And if so, will the Watcher have to get a new roommate? He would be the worst roommate ever. So nosy. Also, what's going on inside that new S.H.I.E.L.D. base on the moon? And what happens when Iron Man shows up? And how will Salvador LaRocca draw his armor? Here's a hint. Badly. And why do they need to add Iron Man to this story? Here's a hint. They need a crossover. Marvel is using the fame and the popularity of the Fantastic Four to help sell copies of a B-level Marvel character, Iron Man. Man, have times changed. So if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes of iTunes and find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. I'll fight if you want me to fight. I'll laugh if you want me to laugh and cancel.